Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We'd love to hear from you. To learn how we can pray for you or answer any questions, you can email Pastor John directly at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
I know, 2 weeks ago I promised, right? 2 weeks ago I promised that was the last time I was going to show you that video, right? I'm sorry. I wanted to take a closer look, though, at something the video has to say to us about the kingdom of God. And it's the section of that video that, depending on your church background, may actually have kind of seemed the most foreign or kind of the part that you weren't so sure about. So I want to take a little closer look at that. If you were brought up to see salvation as a fire escape from hell, a get-out-of-jail-free card, or if you have been taught to see the church as simply marking time and waiting until Jesus comes and takes us all away, then these remarks in particular probably caught you a little off guard. Let me read them for you again. The fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity, moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus, us, the people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project, and the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world, not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. End quote. Within the global Christian dialogue, the Church of the Nazarene, along with our sister Wesleyan and Holiness denominations, continues to advance this hopeful optimism, this radical belief that God is in the process of redeeming all of creation, the restoration of humanity into the image of God, and the continued movement toward that future time when all things will be made right. Now, this is not just because we're a bunch of radical optimists, okay? This is because we choose to take Jesus and John the Baptist and others seriously when they said in Scripture that the kingdom of God was at hand, that the kingdom of God was near, or even indeed that the kingdom of God has arrived. You've already heard it once this morning. The author of Hebrews, he concludes chapter 12 not by saying, "We will receive the kingdom that cannot be shaken," right? What's he say? "We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Why does the author of Hebrews say this? Because the kingdom of God has come near. Now, before I go any further in the message this morning, I just want to say a couple of things. First is, hang on, I've been away a couple weeks, so you're going to have to give me an extra few minutes this morning. All right, fair enough. Secondly is this, I'm going to be telling you a lot of stories about the Church of the Nazarene this morning around the world, telling you a lot of the exciting ways God is using his church as expressed through the Nazarene denomination to build his kingdom. Now, we have a lot of visitors here this morning too, so let me just be clear in this. That's not to say that God isn't using other denominations and traditions and missionaries. He certainly is. Or even to suggest that he's somehow choosing to use us more than everybody else. I don't choose to suggest that. It's just these are the stories that I heard the last 2 weeks, and so they're stories I'm going to tell you. And since I was at a Nazarene General Assembly, it only makes sense that they were stories about the Church of the Nazarene. Now, the third disclaimer I want to make this morning is to just to give a little credit where credit is due. This sermon relies heavily on a sermon by Reverend Jerry Porter, one of my favorite general superintendents, if you're allowed to have favorite generals, I don't know, but he's one of mine anyway. And he preached a message about this last Saturday night at our General Assembly. In fact, I even just considered kind of taking the morning off and just showing you the video of the message from last Saturday night. But he preached for about an hour, and so you're going to have to put up with the John Twitchell's Reader's Digest condensed version instead. Having said that, If you have an internet connection, all of the worship services are online, and I'd particularly encourage you to watch Dr. Porter's message from Saturday night. You can find it online at nazarene.org/GA Live, General Assembly Live, GA Live. But one of the truths that Dr. Porter put forward is that throughout the Gospels, we continue to read about Jesus reminding people over and over again that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the kingdom of God has come near, that the kingdom of God is arriving. I'm going to give you just a few examples of that this morning. In his gospel, Mark tells us that after Jesus was baptized, and after Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days, that he went to Galilee proclaiming, "The time has come," Jesus said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Throughout the Gospels, we read that Jesus went from town to town proclaiming this very truth, that the kingdom of God is at hand, it's come near, it's arriving. He sends his disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But the kingdom of God did not only come near, for Jesus also talks about the kingdom of God as though it had already arrived. In Matthew 12, one of the many times Jesus is charged with an accusation, he's charged with using demonic powers to drive out demons. It's in Matthew chapter 12. He responds to the charges, but in the midst of that, he answers by saying this, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." He doesn't say the kingdom of God is yet to come, or even that it's coming soon. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "The kingdom of God has come upon you." Why? Because the kingdom of God has come near. Another time in the book of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to the chief priests and elders, and he says these words. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Did you catch it? He didn't say the tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God ahead of you. He said they are entering already, are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Why? Because the kingdom of God has come near. And in Mark chapter 9, Jesus tells the crowds, he said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." You understand, clearly in this case, Jesus is not talking about some future arrival of the kingdom that we've not yet experienced. That would make Jesus out to be lying, since those people all around him had died, right? So clearly he's talking about something that was going to happen in their lifetime. Perhaps he's talking about his transfiguration, an event that's recorded just a little bit down the page. Or maybe he's talking about his resurrection, conquering death and sin and the empty tomb. John Wesley, in his notes, suggests that perhaps it's most likely Jesus is talking about the coming of the kingdom of God with power on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church and 3,000 were added to their number. Regardless of which option you take, it's pretty clear that as Jesus speaks, he's talking about something that would happen within the lifetime of those who were listening. Therefore, from our perspective in 2013, the kingdom of God has come with power. If we adopt these as true, therefore then our role is to be an ambassador for that kingdom. Our job is to announce the good news that the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It has come near. We are to announce the arrival of God's kingdom, not just in the world to come, but in the here and in the now. We are to live out the realities of that kingdom, justice and peace and joy and reconciliation, healing, good news for the oppressed, and forgiveness of sins for all. The gospel is good news.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we must announce it in a way that the world around us understands how good it is. Paul reminds us of our role. He tells us who we are in all of this. He says we are ambassadors. He writes this, 1 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation," that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Listen to this. "Not counting people's sins against them." And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Well, so here's my thinking this morning, and perhaps my thinking over the next few weeks. If we are to be ambassadors of the kingdom, if we're going to tell people about the kingdom, we ought to probably know what the kingdom looks like, right? If it's our job to announce that the kingdom of God is here, then not only ought we be able to live out the realities and principles of that kingdom, but we ought to be able to identify the glimmers and glimpses when we see the kingdom coming among us. If we believe the kingdom of God is at hand, if the kingdom of God has come near, we ought to live lives of radical optimism. Not just because we put on rose-colored glasses, you understand, but because we believe that the kingdom of God has come near, for we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let me just deviate for a moment this morning. Too often, I fear, we have a problem. We as Christians, but perhaps even especially we as Nazarenes, we have a problem. We have an inferiority complex is what we have. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? We have a little inferiority complex. We believe we're losing ground. We believe we're failing in the mission. We believe that maybe we're not relevant to this world anymore. Now, I know there are a variety of legal decisions this week that many of us probably disagreed with or wish had been made another or different way. But hear me say this. We must not simply hang our head in despair or wring our hands. Why? Because we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. For the kingdom of God has come near. Rick Warren said it yesterday on Twitter. I copied it on Twitter and Facebook. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Rick Warren said this yesterday. The quote, "Why are you worried? God's church has survived every other culture that crumbled. It will outlast this one too." Emphasis his, by the way, not emphasis added. Emphasis on every was his emphasis. After all, the kingdom of God, hear me say this, the kingdom of God absolutely does not depend upon the Supreme Court of the United States of America. All right, let me say it one more time. The kingdom of God absolutely does not depend on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Amen. Jesus' purposes cannot be thwarted by our government. Jesus' purposes cannot be thwarted by what might be perceived as an apparent cultural decline. Neither Jesus nor his followers need a friendly government to give us protection or privilege. In fact, the kingdom of God seems to be growing more and more forcefully in the places where the government is not friendly, where the government does not provide protection or privilege. If we are to be ambassadors for this kingdom that has already at hand, then we must know what the kingdom looks like. We must be able to recognize it when we see it. We must be able to live into the principles of this kingdom, to announce its arrival whenever and wherever we catch it in glimpses and glimmers. So what does the kingdom look like? Maybe the kingdom of God looks a little bit like Sherwin Rolota, pictured here over on your right. Born and raised in the Philippines, Sherwin was sponsored through the child sponsorship program of Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. And in part, due to the faithfulness of his sponsors, $25 a month to sponsor a child, help make sure they receive education and food and are taken care of. In part, due to the faithfulness of his sponsors and the upbringing of his parents in a Christian community and an educational program sponsored by the Church of the Nazarene, Sherwin was able to receive a quality elementary and high school education. He went on to study at Philippine Nazarene College. He obtained his MDiv at Nazarene Theological Seminary, where he graduated cum laude. And today he serves as a youth pastor at the Marysville Church of the Nazarene in Washington State. You see, the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed that grows into a great tree. It's like yeast that spreads throughout the flower, leavening the whole world. The kingdom of God has come near. Or maybe the kingdom of God looks just a little bit like Bangladesh. I'm fascinated by Bangladesh, by the way. I want to learn more about Bangladesh. But 20 years ago in Bangladesh, listen to this, there were no Nazarenes, zero Nazarenes, zero Nazarene congregations. But because of the simple faith of one person, Reverend Sukamal Biswas, the church entered Bangladesh 20 years ago. Today, they report 2,381 churches. And these are not just churches of five or six people. They are churches that contain 106,000 Nazarenes across three districts in the Church of the Nazarene in Bangladesh. The Church of the Nazarene in Bangladesh has plans, by the way, to reach 3,000 churches in the next 2 years by 2015. Bangladesh made Nazarene history in 2010 with the largest class of ordinands in the history of the Church of the Nazarene. You see here one of our general superintendents ordaining this lady who's kneeling at the altar and other elders on the district gathering around. March 24th, 2010, listen to this, a 20-year-old district, they ordained 193 people into full-time ministry to serve the Lord, ordained as elders in the church. It was a marvelous district assembly service. I understand it required not one general superintendent, not two general superintendents, but four general superintendents to come and ordain this class of 193, including two who came out of retirement simply to help. Today in Bangladesh, the church continues to spread like wildfire. One village just simply sends ambassadors to another village. They tell them the good news of the gospel. There are Jesus film teams that are taking the Jesus film into the most remote areas of Bangladesh, and the need for new teams and new equipment continues to grow. If you go to the Jesus Film Harvest Partners website, you'll see that there is a current need for over 140 sets of Jesus Film equipment. We could use 140 brand new sets of Jesus Film equipment right now to go out into the field. In Bangladesh, there is an urgent need just for 15 sets in Bangladesh alone, 15 sets of Jesus Film equipment. And as an aside, and I know you've heard me talk about the Jesus Film before, it's one of our favorite ministries here, but I just want to remind you, it continues to be one of the most efficient and effective means of evangelism that we have. We've partnered with Campus Crusade for Christ for 17 years now, and in those 17 years of partnership with Campus Crusade, we celebrate nearly 12 million people who have made a profession of faith in Jesus because they saw the Jesus film in their language. That's not 12 million people who watched. That's 12 million people who made a profession of faith. Our Jesus film office continues to keep records. We put them in your bulletin every week. And we're told again that for every $3 given to Jesus Film Harvest Partners, statistics tell us one person makes a decision for Christ. This was exciting news I learned for the first time last week. This is the part about Bangladesh that fascinates me. They need these kits in remote areas, and it's hard to get these Jesus film kits. They're projector kits, solar power, sound equipment, projectors, and screens. They cost about $4,000 a piece. The harvest is so plentiful in Bangladesh, and the ministries are so effective that other ministries and groups outside the church are taking notice. There's a group called the Barnabas Group. I don't know if any of us had ever heard about the Barnabas Group. I never heard about it until this week. It's a group of top-level executives, marketplace leaders, probably mostly in our country, but some perhaps around the world. They combine their resources to support ministries that are being successful, to help them be more successful. And members of the Barnabas Group, these are like CEOs and execs, people with private planes at their disposal, right? Last week I learned that members of the Barnabas Group are prepared to utilize their own resources to help us get those Jesus film kits to the remote areas, including remote areas of Bangladesh. All we have to do is raise the funds to purchase the equipment, and they will make immediate delivery of those kits and get them on the field. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and even though it's the tiniest of seeds, it grows into a giant tree. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God shows up in places where you least expect it, like an impoverished family in San Jeronimo, Guatemala, who more than 40 years ago were unexpectedly expecting their eighth child. You can imagine the difficulty and the devastation faced by a family in poverty upon the realization that child number eight might be on its way. Abortion could have been considered a viable option, but because the mother had attended a Church of the Nazarene and she learned the value of all life and the sanctity of life, she made the wonderful decision to give birth to a baby boy trusting God to provide the needs of her and her family. Young Gustavo grew up learning that God had a plan for each of his children. But young Gustavo, in poverty, he often prayed like Gideon prayed, asking God what he, the quote, the youngest of this poor family of the weakest clan of Guatemala, could do for the kingdom. God answered him, telling Gustavo, "You can do nothing unless I am with you." Gustavo trusted those words. Gustavo grew up and became a learned man, a Fulbright scholar at the University of Chicago, where he got his master's in community planning and later a PhD in organizational leadership from Regent University. But more importantly than the degrees and the accolades, Gustavo Croker answered the call to serve the kingdom of God, serving as senior vice president of World Relief Corporation, serving as a program coordinator for the Global Alliance of Christian Ministries, and a field manager for Compassion International. Ordained by the Mid-Atlantic District Church of the Nazarene, he also served as the director of Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. He spent the last several years as the Eurasia Regional Director, and on Wednesday night, he was elected the newest general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. That a poor child from a poor family in a poor country could become one of the global leaders of a denomination that continues to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Following the installation of the general superintendents, one of my friends and colleagues, he wrote this: "Tonight, I watched a French missionary introduce two Africans to the new Guatemalan general superintendent, whose membership is in the United States but served in Eurasia." That's what the kingdom of God looks like. The kingdom of God has come near. All right. The kingdom of God, it doesn't just show up in other countries, right? I mean, we in the U.S., we have a little inferiority complex with this, right? We watch the cultural movement and we say, why is it happening there and not here? The kingdom of God doesn't just show up in other countries. The kingdom of God has come near right here in the United States through compassionate ministries and urban centers and creative church planting. The kingdom of God continues to advance even here. And it's being made manifest in the city of Chicago. Recognizing the need to return to our urban centers, after much of the church has fled the urban centers, recognizing the need to return to the urban centers and to plant effective and efficient churches in economic ways, a very difficult thing to do, obviously, with the price of buildings, the Chicago Central District Church of the Nazarene is adopting a new vision for the future of the city of Chicago. And they're adopting a vision of house churches. And they're living out this God-given vision that is so huge it will only be accomplished because of the power of God. Listen to this. The Chicago Central District is committed to recruit, to train, and to equip bivocational pastors and church planters so that, you guys were in Chicago for a while, you're going to appreciate this, so that they can plant a Church of the Nazarene in every one of the 77 neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. 77 house churches, 77 neighborhoods, 77 bivocational pastors. It's already begun. They had a training session with 40 pastors to come and to begin this work, this groundswell of movement in the city of Chicago. Like a mustard seed growing into a great tree, like yeast leavening an entire loaf, the kingdom of God has come near. I know that sometimes we feel like we're losing ground. I know we feel like I'm only one person attending a relatively small church in a relatively small denomination. And yet stories like the ones we just heard remind me that we often underestimate the size and impact of what one small voice can do. See, last Sunday, as you worshiped here, Melody and I were in a massive gathering of just over 20,000 Nazarenes at our General Assembly in Indianapolis. I know the picture doesn't come through really well here. There's people as far as you can see. It's a massive convention center hall with 20,000 people gathered in it. It's impossible for me to try to describe to you the size of the crowd or the power of the singing or what it would mean and what it meant to gather around the table with Christians from around the world. And yet, as I sat there in this massive group of people, I was reminded of this, that group was just a tiny fraction of the 2.15 million Nazarenes around the globe. And just a fraction of the body of Christ. We were worshiping in one of the largest church services we've ever been to. It was only 1% of our total Nazarene population. And if that wasn't enough, we were reminded that the Church of the Nazarene has doubled every 15 years. And we now worship in 28,000 congregations in 159 different world areas. We are on pace to reach 10 million Nazarenes by the year 2044. The kingdom of God is arriving. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, last weekend, while you were worshiping here, while Melody and I were worshiping there, I want to tell you about another place where Nazarenes worshiped. It was in the country of Jordan. The Church of the Nazarene last weekend celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. Now, just let me explain that before you think they've got their liturgical wires crossed. Because the Eastern Orthodox Church drives the calendar in that part of the globe, our churches have made the cultural adaptation to simply work within the framework of that calendar. And so they celebrated Pentecost last weekend. While Nazarenes were holding General Assembly in Indianapolis, over 3,000 Jordanian Nazarenes were gathering for a special Pentecost worship service and praying for their Nazarene brothers and sisters around the world. This is in the country of Jordan. Indeed, the kingdom of God has come near. I don't want to bore you with numbers, but this was really the most amazing set of statistics. I know some of you have already seen it because I posted it on Facebook. It was the ratio of Nazarene Christians to the world population through the last 105 years. What started as a small movement 105 years ago in Pilot Point, Texas, has grown to that international expression of the body of Christ, reaching lost people all around the globe. You see the numbers, but in 1910, there was one Nazarene for every 100,000 people on the earth. That's what these ratios mean. In 1945, there was one in every 11,000 people were Nazarene. 35 years later, it was one Nazarene for every 6,700, and last year, there was one Nazarene for every 3,200 people on this globe. We're not losing ground. You understand, we're growing faster than world population is growing. And if our research and growth projections come true, you see that number at the bottom, by 2044, we could reach a ratio of one Nazarene to every 900 people around the world. The kingdom of God is coming near. The kingdom of God grows the same way it has already always grown, with one person sharing the good news with one person. It's about one beggar giving alms to another beggar. It's about one person wandering in the desert, showing another person wandering in the desert where he found water. It's about one sinner showing another sinner where she found new life, new hope, and forgiveness of sins. See, the kingdom of God, it's not about us fighting and scrapping for leverage within a secular system that is bound to crumble and fail. The kingdom of God is about us proclaiming the good news, one person to one person. It's about us loving every person that we contact, regardless of where they are, where they've been, or what they've done. It's about caring for orphans and widows in their time of distress. It's about living lives of holiness and purity in public ways so that nobody may say anything bad about us, but give glory to God our Father. The kingdom of God is like living lives like Christ. You see, the kingdom of God, it's not only found in the Philippines. It's not only found in Bangladesh or in Guatemala. The kingdom of God is found right here. It's found when we serve food to children on Munjoy Hill. It's found when we hold a vacation Bible school for the children of Cape Elizabeth. The kingdom of God is found when we take volunteers and mentors into the Long Creek Youth Development Center through Kairos Torch. But even more than that, you live out the kingdom of God each and every day. When you pay for someone else's groceries, when you let the car cut in front of you instead of demanding your rights, it's found when we pray for our enemy. It's found when we turn the other cheek or go the extra mile. It's found when we make space for the other, when we extend hospitality to those who are different from us. It's found when we seek to disciple and mentor the people that God brings across our paths. Someone planted your church. Some of you still sitting here in this room. Someone planted this church. The rest of us, someone invited us to come. Someone invited us to come and join. Someone somewhere in your life shared the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Someone prayed with you at an altar or a vacation Bible school or a camp meeting to receive Christ. Someone else was the ambassador of the kingdom extending that invitation for you to come. But today, you are the beggar who's sharing alms that you've been given. You are the farmer showing others the pearl of great price that was worth everything you ever had. You are the desert wanderer showing another desert wanderer where you found living water. You once were blind, but now you introduce another blind person to the one who can make them see. You once were enslaved to sin, but now your chains are gone. And it is your job, it is our job, to help the other captives find freedom that's available to them in Christ. Why? Because the kingdom of God has come near, and it continues to come among the people of God. And indeed, as we pray each and every week, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.